In our final presentation for mutual funds, we concentrated on a sample mutual fund. And one of the reasons I chose this particular mutual fund is not only because it's done very well, but it's also been around for 86 years. So we can see over the long term what kind of wealth a well-run mutual fund can produce for us. Now, I'm not going to use the file that's on the internet only because it doesn't display as well. It's not the file itself, it's the system that displays it within the browser. So I'm going to minimize the browser, get it out of the way, and here it is on my local machine. And this was done for Business 123, Spring 2020, a hypothetical illustration. Now, almost all mutual fund companies and insurance companies have an ability to create these hypothetical illustrations. You have to be a licensed individual to show them, and they must be complete. The report is not complete unless all pages as noted below are included. And please read the information in the important disclosures found at the beginning of this report. And they're going to be chock-filled of disclaimers such as this guy. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. What is this stuff? It is something designed so that nobody would read it. It sounds like Greek or plain song or Gregorian chant. And if you ever do have insomnia, dear students, please pick up one of these things, pick up the prospectus, start reading, and very quickly you will be soundly asleep. But in this, it's all legalese. It's trying to show you that, hey, folks, this is not a bank. This is not a guaranteed investment. You're going to lose money sometimes. And it talks about all the different fees that you're going to be hit with. And does anybody read it? No. But that's, you know, that's what's legally required. So here we have an initial investment back on January 1st, 1934. That's how old, actually it's several years older than that, but this is when the newer folks took over. It started in the mid-20s, the Investment Company of America. And I don't know why the Securities and Exchange Commission requires us to use $10,000 for initial investment. How many people have $10,000 lying around the house? Most of us are starting with 50 bucks, 100 bucks, but that's what we're required to do, and that's what you'll always see. You'll always see $10,000 initial investment. So we put $10,000 away in 1934 during the Great Depression, and let it ride. And it did pretty well for a few years until another recession hit in 1937. And then it hit the World War II, and then it hit the Korean War, and then the Vietnam War. But in the 1950s and 60s, the market went in two directions, up and way up. And by 1972, we had over $1 million, $1,231,000. And then 2 years later, we had $840,000. Right, the 1973-74 bear market, the first oil shock, the Israeli war with, was that still with Egypt? I forget. And then Watergate, right. And it was a rough 2 years. Market lost almost 50%. This guy went down about, 40 or 37%. So what did you hear people say in 1972? Ooh, is it too late to get in? What did you hear people say in 1974? Ooh, is it too late to get out? In both situations, the answer was yes. Yes, when you hear people start to say, ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Then you know the downturn is coming, but what do you do? Don't panic, because you don't know when. Just smile and say, put your $50, $100 and relax. And then when you hear people say, ooh, is it too late to get out? That's the time, if you have any extra cash lying around, that's the time to buy. Because look what happened 2 years later in 1976. $1.5 million. And this is what stock investing is like, dear students. You're going to have times when everybody's happy, partying, everybody's, you know, we're going to get rich, rich, rich. And then you're going to have times when people say, oh, I'll never touch stocks again. Oh my God, get me out of here. No mas, no mas. But hey, then the 1980s and 90s came along. That decade of the 70s was a very difficult decade, as we'll discuss in just a moment here. And we discussed it a little bit in chapter one also. No, did we? No. We'll discuss it again in chapter six. Five. But the stock in 1980s and 90s, globalization, new technologies, the internet, telecommunications, the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And by 1999 and 2000, you had $47 million. Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Yes, that was the internet bubble. Blue skies. Productivity gains as far as the, many of these companies were never going to make a dime and had billions of dollars of market capitalization, meaning they were worth billions, and then promptly fell into a pool of tears. And the market then dropped almost 50%. These guys, not quite. That's one of the hallmarks of a very good mutual fund. They hold up, in my humble opinion, better on the downside. So you had, in 2000, 47 million, and in 2002, 38 million. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, and sure enough, in the 2000s up to 2007, things were pretty darn good. You had $70 million in 2007. Now, 2007, people said the stock market was overvalued. No, it really wasn't the stock market. It was the real estate market that was in the major bubble at the time, and specifically the bonds, loans that we'll discuss in chapters 9 and 10, that were tied to the mortgages that were behind the real estate, and the bubble burst, and we had the Great Recession. So you had $70 million in 2007. Next year, 2008, $46 million. Yeah, and the market, again, this time lost more than 50%. Again, these guys held up a little bit better. But still, it ain't no fun to lose that much money, is it? But you didn't run, you didn't hide. And sure enough, by 2012, yeah, even though people were still saying the world is going to end and we've got the Antichrist, I'll never forget the students saying that to me, that they're parents had kept the kids home because the Antichrist Obama had been elevated and the rapture was at hand. These are voters, folks. These are people who are voting. Anyway, so sure enough, the market the last few years has done very well. There's been a little, you know, bumpiness along the way, but that $73 million in 2012 is now, at the end of 2019, $172 million. $10,000 over 86 years has become $172 million at an average annual return of 12%. Now, remember what we said about stocks. If we get 8, 9, 10%, we are happy campers. And here is a mutual fund. It's not the only one, but here is a mutual fund that has done 12% over 8.5 decades. So the news is good. Is it a guarantee about the future? Future results, past results are not guaranteed. No, it's not. And we're going to have to deal with the volatility. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to go down and take a look at the graph. And this graph is not a logarithmic graph. And so we see the benefit of a logarithmic now that we understand logarithmic scales are kind of scary because they show big gains as little squiggles on a graph. But here, because it's an arithmetic, we see the first 40 years, you can barely see anything. From 1934 to 1974, you can barely see any kind of growth. And then finally, we start to see the exponential curve. But notice the drop, 73 and 74, even though it was almost 40%, 37% down, it still doesn't measure as much. And then there's 2000 to 2002. Drop of about 30 some percent, and then again there's 2007 to 2008. You see it's very jagged, but there you start to see that exponential whoosh up. Pretty cool, right? The news is good, and if the world doesn't end and we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, meteorite, tsunami, Ebola, disco returns. You think I'm kidding, but many of you didn't live through the 1970s. Anyway, if we don't have something that destroys the world, the next 20, 30 years, in my humble opinion, should be pretty darn good. Now, you might say, well, what about climate change? What about all the authoritarianism and what's going on? Yeah, we have serious issues that we have to address. But I'm confident that we'll do it. And if we don't, it doesn't matter where your money is. You better get yourself down to Tierra del Fuego or Tasmania and learn to raise goats and grow alfalfa, whatever. We live in this modern, technologically based society, and I'm very optimistic. Why? Because of the younger generations. They have tools available to them, and they know how to use them, unlike us old folks, that we could only think about in science fiction. And so I'm very optimistic. Now, lastly, how many of us have an 86-year time frame? Well, who knows? The young folks, they might be living. Supposedly, the first person to live to 150 has already been born. I don't know. I don't know. I'm checking out fairly. Not hopefully not too soon, but I won't be around. But some of you may be around for another 100 years. But still, how many people have an 86-year time frame? No. So what we're going to see are some more typical 30 and 40-year time frames. Okay, so look forward to those. But remember, dear students, what's the takeaway? The news is good. We can build serious wealth through mutual funds or investing in stocks, which we'll do in our next chapter. The volatility is real. We have to be prepared emotionally for times when, is it too late to get out? And we say to ourselves, no, 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 this is the time to buy more. Or just keep putting $50, $100 a month away through our checking accounts or our paychecks at work. Cool? Okay, you have any questions? You know how to contact. Be awesome, dear students. We are so proud of you.